I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is sponsored by...
Hi, I'm Ward Slurry, chairman of the Chamber of U.S. Petroleum Producers, or CUSP. And I want to clear up some loose talk that petroleum will eventually run out. It will not. As you know, fossil fuels come from lots of dead dinosaurs being under intense heat and pressure over millions of years. Also, a single American can burn through almost 30 years of pre-human history with a quick drive to the mall. That's why people think the remaining oil will eventually become too hard to recover. And it will. On this planet. But not in Narnia. Narnia, of course, is an enchanted land where animals talk, everything is magical, and oil is the most sane, logical, and abundant energy. You can drill and drill and just never run out. Plus, they still have plenty of dinosaurs there. Why, woolly mammoths are as common in Narnia as mosquitoes are at picnics. But it's not just Narnia that will save us from running out. Geologists think they've pinpointed another pocket of crude oil buried way, way up our ass. No matter what happens in the Middle East, we'll be pulling oil out of our ass. Plus, I'm pretty sure there are even more woolly mammoths up there, too. So we need to lower the panic level on this topic and get back to energy solutions that work. Oil will never run out, as long as the government lets us drill. I'm willing to let oil companies drill me in the ass for as long as they want. How about you?
Think you've heard the whole story on the Rush Limbaugh contraception kerfuffle? You haven't. The Final Edition has the inside story for you. The way inside story. Inside Rush Limbaugh himself, where his plucky internal organs plot 24/7 to destroy the doughboy demagogue himself.
Let me tell you, friends, Georgetown Law School co-eds are having so much sex they're going broke.
Meet Harriet Hart.
No, she's not, you sexist sack of human sewage. She's on a regimen of pills, just like you, only her pills are fucking legal. She's... If only your mom had held an aspirin between her knees.
Yeah, you go, girl. Uh-huh, you tell him.
My troubles would be over.
Jesus, what kind of life is this? Sucking this shit bucket's fat carcass, forcing blood through his gunk-clogged arteries, it's like sucking lard-flavored jello through a straw.
Yeah.
Man.
Having so much sex 3 times a day for 3 years of law
school. Meet Sydney and Whitney, the kidney sisters.
Think you got it tough?
We gotta filter the toxins from all that crappy stuff his stupid face with.
After it's been mixed with his spit and mucus.
And sloshed all over his rotting teeth and bleeding gums.
We hate this guy's guts.
Fuck him.
Now hold on there, folks. We are his guts.
Leroy the liver.
No one deplores Mr. Rush's bigoted balderdash more than I. But the good Lord chose me to be his liver. Glory, hallelujah. Whatever I personally opine, my solemn duty as a good Baptist gland is to keep his innards running good.
Come on, Leroy. Come on.
Man up, please.
So much sex. Day in, day out.
Oh, no! Oh, shit! He's getting an erection!
And introducing Peter Percival Penis.
Hey, Hart, you lazy bitch! Get some blood down here! The boss wants to pleasure himself!
No blood for you! You are too small to be a dick! You ain't even big enough to be a clitoris!
Oh, yeah, Daddy-O! Come and get me! I'm ready!
He certainly sounds like a clitoris.
Year in, year out, in and out!
No way! No blood! No!
No!
Oh, no!
was murdered. What's happening in this country when a Negro Democrat, yes, friends, I mean Obama...
Hey, fellow Glenn, guess what? We got trickle down!
Where's the outrage?
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Vietnam War reenactors have many Rambos, few Kong.
The First Amendment to the new Syrian constitution establishes the right to kill the shit out of people.
Al Jazeera premieres new sketch comedy show, Mujahideen.
The accidental burning of Korans at a NATO base in Afghanistan continues to enrage already enraged Muslims across the world. To prevent the accident from recurring, President Obama announced a bold new plan to develop a fireproof Koran. Special Ops Command personnel at Fort Bragg have begun testing of the new non-flammable edition. Tests are under heavy security in case enraged Muslims are further enraged by the possibility of even more burnt Korans. Sharia law calls for the beheading of any person who even slightly chars a Koran, for instance, by stubbing out a cigarette on the sacred book. Testing has so far been successful. According to a Navy SEAL who requested anonymity because of the beheading thing.
We fired everything we got at that little old Koran trying to burn it to a crisp. Flamethrowers, napalm, white phosphorus, medium range incendiary devices. Hey, we even dropped that sucker into a vat of molten steel. Temperatures in excess of 2,000 degrees Celsius. She came through like gangbusters.
The Army's top consultant on EMI, enraged Muslim issues, Mulala Mustafa Bominabag.
At great personal peril to life and limb, I have given preliminary approval to the fireproof Quran. 200,000 have been printed at a cost of several thousand dollars per Quran. They will be shipped to Kabul for distribution to enraged Muslims all over Afghanistan.
An outraged Rick Santorum weighed in on the president's solution to the crisis.
This is typical Obambi cowardice, caving to terrorists. Research has shown that the Koran is a pagan abomination and that Islam is a fake religion cooked up by Satan. The U.S. should be burning more Korans, not less. Every Koran our brave warriors and women can find. Burn that heathen garbage. As your president, I would use this new technology to fireproof our Bibles. We need to protect God's sacred word from enraged Muslim arsonists high on hashish.
White House spokesman Jay Carney held a press briefing on implementation of the president's plan.
Jay, RW, Apple iPad, New York Times. What will the administration do if enraged Muslims reject the non-flammable Korans?
Johnny, we've anticipated that. Research is underway on a new high-intensity incendiary system called Smart Fire. Smart Fire can sense the presence of a sacred text, so it would incinerate people, buildings, and livestock, but not Korans!
Jay, Mario Baker Eddy, Christian Science Monitor, will Smart Fire also be able to recognize the Bible?
Yes, but not the Book of Mormon.
This is the Final Edition Radio Hour. For more satire with teeth, visit thefinaledition.com. Elliot Handler, co-creator of Barbie, the most successful doll in history, died last year at the age of 95. It was the best thing that could have happened to his company, Mattel Toys, at least according to current CEO Bob Eckert, as he announced a dramatic new incarnation of the iconic doll.
While Elliot was alive, Barbie could not be changed in any detail. Towards the end, he sat for hours literally drooling over Barbie. Sad. Icky. You wondered what was going inside that once brilliant toy inventor's mind. But his passing let the winds of change sweep through Mattel, blowing away the cobwebs of sexism and elitism. Free to develop a dream doll I've been secretly grooming for years. World, America, girls of all ages, may I introduce Average Barbie.
For years, Barbie had been hammered across the cultural spectrum for her bottle blonde cuteness, intimidating body type, and ghastly peppiness. She's been called everything from promoter of situational ethics to future whore of Babylon.
legendary feminist Gloria Steinem.
You want sexist? Look at the cheerleader nose, the pubescent bosom, the ludicrously long, anorexic, Eurotrash legs. You want elitist? Check out Barbie's careers. Astronaut, brain surgeon, chief geisha to the Emperor of Japan, head of the International Monetary Fund, plus that Olympic gold medal in jazzercise, and her Nobel Prize for Literature. Barbie makes young girls feel bad. A plastic doll is better looking than they'll ever be. Far smarter, far more goal-oriented. Jesus, the bitch makes me feel bad.
Jeremy Love heads up Mattel's global $100 million Average Barbie launch campaign.
Average Barbie is a doll for our times. Ordinary. Ordinary, ordinary, ordinary. Homely, full-figured, mildly depressed, she'll have huge appeal for today's less aspirational, borderline obese young female consumer. Average Barbie has no goals. Except stalking her ex-boyfriend, Average Ken, on Facebook. She's obsessed with Twilight movies and her cat, Rupert Pattinson. And forget old Barbie's insecure high-profile careers. Average Barbie has a recession-proof job as part-time substance abuse counselor at her local AA center. Weekends, she makes a little extra at her local mall's fridge magnet store. Average Barbie wears the clothes you wear. She's available for girl talk 24/7. Average Barbie always answers her cell. She's a Barbie for the 21st century. Every Girl 2012.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is sponsored by...
Dude, you totally spit on your cell phone!
It's my way cool new app, DNA Pal!
DNA Pal? That sounds way cool.
It is. Facebook only shows you who you are. Foursquare just says where you are. But what if your friends want to see your genetic code represented on a double helix?
A vexing conundrum, my nizzle.
Well, DNA Pal puts it right online.
Sharing is fun.
Upload your fingerprints, too. Compare them with your friends. Plus, DNA Pal measures your blood alcohol content and other intoxicants in your system.
So everyone will know I'm partying.
Or if you have a concealed weapon or stolen merchandise or affiliations with radical mosques, even whether you're lying to authorities.
But why would I upload personal information where police and salespeople can see it?
Because the more you share on DNA Pal, the more pal points you earn.
Pal points? What do they do?
They show how much you put on DNA Pal.
I want some!
Hi, I'm Janet Napolitano from the Department of Homeland Security. I wish there were more cool and awesome people social networking on DNA Pal.
Information on DNA Pal becomes intellectual property of Homeland Security. The president may imprison you without trial.
Steven Spielberg's The Diary of Schindler's Pianist has won the Academy Award for Best Picture of 2012 even before its release, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences announced today. Reynolds Pompton, the Academy President.
It would be insulting to make a film of this stature wait almost a year to be honored. Besides, there would be no suspense factor at the ceremony anyway.
The blockbuster film will not only be directed by, but also will star Mr. Spielberg, who stepped into the key role of Hector Schindler, the brother of the famed Oscar Schindler of Schindler's List, when Ashton Kutcher proved unavailable, said Harvey Weinstein of the Weinstein Company.
The script, originally written by Darren Aronofsky and Aaron Sorkin, and now undergoing a rewrite by Quentin Tarantino, tells the story of a 13-year-old Jewish girl who is rescued from Auschwitz by Schindler, a private in a Slovenian resistance unit, who can never forget the piano recital he once saw the brilliant prodigy give in the Jewish ghetto in Krakow. The two are pursued through Eastern Europe by a vengeful SS man, to be played by Christoph Waltz, but are saved by an elite American infantry squad under the command of Tom Hanks one day before the war ends.
Based on a made-up story that loosely resembles an apocryphal legend, we've been told that the tragic yet uplifting saga will be narrated by Natalie Portman in a poignant voiceover based on the girl's own diary entries, as soon as they are created by the screenwriting team.
Diary was inspired by a poster that was posted on a website by an amateur illustrator and Photoshop hobbyist living in Reading, Pennsylvania. We've already begun a five-continent casting search for the perfect 28-year-old actress to portray the teenager. Although, I'm confident the role will go to my niece.
The Academy's members voted in favor of the unprecedented pre-Oscar by a margin of 17,458 to 2. We don't know who voted against it, but we suspect it was Gibson and Sheen again.
It's time for Breaking Heads. Alabama personhood bill says life begins at the first utterance of the N-word.
Kentucky successfully outlaws legislation.
Despite sharp reductions in news coverage, events continue to transpire.
Placidly amid the noise and waste, and remember what comfort there may be in owning a piece thereof. Avoid quiet and passive persons unless you are in need of sleep. Rotate your tires. Speak glowingly of those greater than yourself, and heed well their advice, even though they be turkeys. Know what to kiss and when. Consider the two wrongs never make a right, but the three do. Wherever possible, put people on hold. Be comforted that in the face of all aridity and disillusionment, and despite the changing fortunes of time, there is always a big future in computer maintenance. Remember the Pueblo. Strive at all times to bend, fold, spindle, and mutilate. Know yourself. If you need help, call the FBI. Exercise caution in your daily affairs, especially with those persons closest to you. That lemon on your left, for instance. Be assured that a walk through the ocean of most souls would scarcely get your feet wet. Fall not in love, therefore. It will stick to your face. Gracefully surrender the things of youth, birds, clean air, tuna, Taiwan, and let not the sand of time get in your lunch. Hire people with hooks. For a good time, call 606-4311. Ask for candy. Take heart amid the deepening gloom that your dog is finally getting enough cheese. And reflect that whatever misfortune may be your lot, it could only be worse in Milwaukee.
You are a blue of the universe.
You are a fluke of the universe. You have no right to be here. And whether you can hear it or not, the universe is laughing behind your back. Therefore, make peace with your God, whatever you conceive him to be, hairy thunderer or cosmic muffin. With all its hopes, dreams, promises, and urban renewal, the world continues to deteriorate. Give up.
You are
And now the final edition Radio Hour's finance feature, Money or Die. A study by two Princeton economists found that the recent nationwide strikes protesting austerity measures in Greece actually increased Greek productivity by around 5%. Ellen Denham is one of the study's authors.
Frankly, the findings were not a shock to us. The strikes affected every part of the Greek economy, from agriculture to tourism to shipping. Transit systems shut down, trash went uncollected, and bureaucrats, teachers, and even policemen didn't come into work. For the country's struggling economy, it was just what the doctor ordered.
The study found that during the October 2011 strike, Greek productivity hit levels not seen since early 2009, when the introduction of a smartphone app allowing users to play Scrabble in the Greek alphabet momentarily improved the Mediterranean nation's debt-to-GDP ratio. Roger Agarwal, the study's co-author, with a couple of logical explanations.
One, Greece is so disorganized that many who intended to strike accidentally ended up doing work. And two, most of the strikers are so corrupt or inefficient that their absence from the job actually allowed real work to get done.
It's not a surprise that halting negative productivity improves things. As the maxim goes, if you're in a hole, stop digging. By sending the morons with shovels into the streets.
We can only hope that the Greeks strike again, and soon, and as broadly as possible. A total shutdown by their working people may be Greece's only chance of turning their economy around, and not blowing up the worldwide economy, too.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh! Guest of honor Wendy Murdoch will open the Great Mall of China.
Rick Santorum says cucumbers are male vegetables, should be bagged separately from female vegetables like tomatoes.
To cut costs, plastic surgeons are selling pre-owned faces.
Finding common ground in their populist struggle against government oppression, the Republican presidential candidates agreed today to move the United States to Somalia. At a public signing of the new Grover Norquist Pledge, Commandeering America's Future, on the shores of Somalia, each of the candidates who've made their fortunes through government funding, employment, or support said that pure free market principles of the government-less country would assure prosperity for all. Frontrunner Mitt Romney.
Our move to Somalia is good for American business, which is good for American workers, which is good for America. Unless, of course, you think I should say that it's not.
Former Senator Rick Santorum.
In the utopia of Somalia, there are no snobby ivory tower bureaucrats telling regular people what they can or cannot do with their business or their churches, nor giving them any ideas about what to do with their dirty, dirty bodies.
Former House Leader Newt Gingrich.
If you nimrods knew anything about history, you'd know that the Saul Alinsky-style gulags of the Departments of Education, Housing, Health and Human Services, Transportation, and Homeland Security, as well as the EPA, FCC, FDA, OHSA, SEC, and ATF, are destroying jobs and leading us to fascist social communism.
In the new United States of Somalia, there will be no soup. Ron Paul.
No out-of-control federal spending. No spending at all.
Desperate labor, no minimum wage, and a workforce that expands down to age 4 and up to age death are among the blessings American business will find in a land free of Big Brother's meddling.
As for pirate attacks, cholera, and debilitating hunger, former candidate and current Texas Governor Rick Perry summed up the conservatives' laissez-faire philosophy best.
Well, sometimes the invisible hand of the market punches you in the nuts. Deal with it.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, satire with teeth. For your fill of brilliant, cutting, and outrageous articles, images, videos, and laughs, visit thefinaledition.com at least once a day. Today's episode was brought to you by actors Kevin Janis, Barry Lank, Darby Worley, and Tuchel,
Lee Papa,
John Marshall, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Kendra. Writers, Peter Kleinman, Jay Welch, Dan Frick, Joseph Rocha, Jennifer Cordery, Louis Grossberger, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. Today's music, Deteriorata. Music by Christopher Guest. Words by Tony Hendra. Backup vocals by Melissa Manchester. Our engineer was Greg Russ. Producers were Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition LLC. Copyright 2012.